to you about the be of good cheer statements in the Bible. Be of good cheer. Five times you will find the statement, be of good cheer. And so I want to title this message series, and I've got to do it this morning, tonight, and next Sunday morning. Commander Pearson will be preaching Wednesday night and next Sunday night, youth pastor. And then we have a youth service on the last Wednesday night. And we just got a lot going on. Amen. If you think this is a church and we're just going through the... I tell you, we got things going on at Westmoreland. Amen. And it's exciting to be here. But I want to ask you this morning, have you faced some opposition? Have you felt alone? Have you had pain in your body? Have you contemplated suicide? Have you been depressed? Well, if so, I want to tell you that there are five times in the Bible when the Word of God says, be of good cheer. Say that with me. Be of good cheer. And this series I'm going to entitle is Cheerful. Now, we've got a lot of people full of anxiety and full of depression and full of suicidal thoughts and full of what in the world is the doctor going to tell me, full of anxiety. But I want you this morning, tonight, and next Sunday, when the pastor comes back, I want him to see that we are cheerful. And we say it with me, cheerful. I'm going to be full of cheer. I know there's terrorism. I know there's chemical weapons. I know there's struggling economies. I know that the Democrats are against the Republicans and the Republicans are against the Democrats. I know that there's defeat and dread. But I believe God's message for your life, for your finances, for this church, for our country, for your future, for your children, I believe can be found in this phrase, be of good cheer. Say it with me. Be of good cheer. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Thank God for his promises. I want you to stand with me and go to the book of Matthew chapter 9. We're going to go to the first time you read the phrase. Now, please understand in the context that you're depressed, in the context that you've had disappointment. Maybe a loved one passed away and you just can't seem to get over that. And that's a very hard thing. And you say, Brother Ricky, you don't know. Trust me, I know what it is to have a loved one to pass away. But let me tell you, the Bible says, be of good cheer. And I want us to look, first of all, at the first instance of this in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to give you a minute to get there and just say again, thank you, April Rains, for being here this morning. And her ministry is so sincere, so anointed. And I am praying God will just continue to open doors for you and fill your calendar full, because you are Reverend April Rains. You're a preacher. And your dad was a great preacher, is a great preacher. And so I know that the Lord is going to bless her. And we so appreciate her. Can you say one more time, thank you, Sister April, for being here this morning. Matthew chapter 9, if you're there, say amen. And go to the next slide. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Read that with me. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Next slide. And behold, certain of the scribes within themselves said, this man blasphemous. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Next slide. For whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven? No, listen to this. What's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said, by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and let him say, arise, take up your bed and go into thine house. And on the next slide, and he arose and departed to his own house. When the multitude saw it and went in Westmoreland saw it, they marveled and glory. I'm telling you, you're about to see something this morning. You are tangibly about to see the Lord move in your life. You're going to be marveled at what God is about to do. And why don't we just glorify him that God is given the power that we need, and praise Him in advance. Father, we bless You today for the miracle that's in the making. We praise You, God, that You're in this house this morning. Anoint Your servant to preach, and we'll give You the glory and the honor. May I decrease, may You increase, and help us to be of good cheer. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell someone you're looking pretty, and God bless you. And if somebody didn't tell you you're looking pretty, just be of good cheer anyway. And go ahead to the next slide. So let me quickly give you the five times, because I've got to squeeze five into three, and I. Really, her message, her last song this morning was one of them. But the first time is what we just read. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. That's what I call the cheer of pardon. Then the next time we read be of good cheer, it is in Matthew chapter 14. When His disciples were in the storm and in the middle of the night, the second cheer comes. And it's Matthew 14:27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. That's the cheer of His presence. And then the next time, in what April quoted on the end of her song, was John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's the cheer of His peace. And then there's two other be of good cheers, and they're found in the book of Acts. So if we go to the next slide, you'll see that these are in the life of the Apostle Paul. And in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11, Paul has been in a shipwreck. Hey, that's a sermon right there. And in the midst of the shipwreck, in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good. Now think of this. He's flotsam out there. Boat wreckage is what that means. And yet the Lord says, be of good cheer, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, you must bear witness also to me at Rome. And that is the cheer of purpose. In other words, Jesus was saying to Paul, you may be in a wreck, you may be in some things going wrong, but I'm going to take you to the place I've purposed for you. And listen, your life is for a purpose. That's next Sunday morning. You'll be back next Sunday, Memorial Weekend, and we're going to have some memories made, because when you discover the cheer of His purpose over your life and over your family and over what your future, I believe we're going to see God do mighty things. Say amen. And then the final time. This is the only time when a man says it. So therefore, I'm going to say it. And this is Paul saying it. And this is the cheer. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. That's the cheer of His promise. The cheer of His promise. I think I'll do that tonight, maybe. Or maybe next time. I don't know what I'll do. Let's let the Lord lead. Amen. That's got me messed up. The cheer of promise. I was sitting there listening to you sing. I thought I need to do the cheer of promise this morning. But then the Lord said, no, go ahead and do what we've prepared you to do. But five times the Bible says. Now, in other translations of the Bible, and April read a different translation, it says, take heart, or be of good courage, or take courage. Say amen to that. So when we say be of good cheer, we're saying take heart. Turn around and tell somebody, take heart. It's going to be all right. I know the master of the sea and the maker of the waves. And He can make the sun shine again. Turn around and tell somebody, be of good courage. Now tell somebody else, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Now, I like the way the King, and on the next slide, I like the way the King James Version says that, be of good cheer. And I love the other translations because that's what it means. Take heart, be of good courage. But I like the way it's worded in the King James, be of good cheer, because there are three things about that before I get into my main sermon. I'm going to give you the sermon before the sermon. But three things about be of good cheer, and y'all are like, oh no. Listen, it sounds like to me it's a command. He didn't say, well, guys, if you think about it, if you happen to get around to it, be of good cheer. No, Commander Philip, be of good cheer. That's a command, like thou shalt not do this or that, or remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. How many of you know God doesn't give suggestions? He gives commandments. And His commandments are good. And I know some people, gloom, despair, agony on me, deep dark depression, perfect misery. Now that tells you my age. I'm over 40. And some of you are like Linus and Peanuts, that you like to cling on to your little blanket and you like to just give people, oh, woe is me, how bad it is, and somebody ain't done me right this time, and somebody ain't shake my hand, this, that, and the other, or somebody jumped in front of me at the drive-thru at McDonald's, and listen, get it together, be of good cheer. Jesus is on the throne. It's a command. Rejoice by choice. Let the world know that there's a God of your life. And you're coming through. You've got His promise. Be of good cheer. Not only is it a command, but be of good cheer is also a choice. You know, you have to choose cheer. You have to choose joy. You have to make a decision. That in spite of what the doctor says, in spite of what people do, in spite of what life has thrown at me, despite of unemployment slip, despite of it, I've done that. I'm preaching to you what I've done and what I'm doing. Sometimes I get so addled, I'm just like, what in the world could happen next? And then all of a sudden, I'll just stop and say, hold it. I'm making a choice to be of good cheer. When it's all said and done, I am more than a conqueror through Him. I still believe Romans chapter 8 is in the old book. All things are working together for my good. He is a wise and a good Father. And so I make a choice to be in my situations, in my struggles, in my sorrows. In light of that, I'm going to make a choice to be of good cheer. But not only is it a command, not only is it a choice, it's a course. You know what I mean by course? You know, a path. Because what do you mean, Pastor? Here's the way I like to say it. Your day tends to go in the same direction as the sides of your mouth. It's a course. How do you like that little kid right there? And that's the way we all should be. Amen? Come on now. Your day tends to go in the same direction as the sides of your mouth. When Ann Landers was alive and she received 10,000 letters a month, Dear Abby, as we, some of us older ones know her, I keep referring to that, don't I? The one problem above all others, here's what she said, seems to be fear. People are afraid of losing their health, their wealth, and their loved ones. People are afraid of life itself. And the answer to that is be of good cheer. You have His power. You have His presence. You have His purpose. You have His peace. And you have His promises. Be of good cheer. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Are you going to make the choice? Are you going to obey the command? Are you going to chart the course for this week? And when the pastor comes back, you're going to have the sides of your mouth. And Pastor, praise God to have you back. And instead of burdening him down with all of the issues. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with sharing prayer requests and needs. I understand we have to share burdens. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, let's be positive. Amen. Let's say, Pastor, I'm going through some trials. But I'm going to be of good cheer. And we're going to move. Amen, somebody. Amen. Now, the first time. And this is the law of first mention by any word or any phrase or anything. So I had to stick onto this morning. But the first time we read the be of good cheer, if we go to the next slide, is in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick. And I just want to stop right here and I want to minister to some people who may be sick. We've got a dear friend of ours who's very, very sick. I haven't heard the latest, but I believe God's going to touch Sister Melody Parnell. And we've been praying for her right here in this church. And so if you're sick this morning or afraid of sickness or have pains, let me tell you to be of good cheer because God is the master. He is the great physician. But they brought a man sick of the palsy lying on the bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, that's another sermon, said unto the son of palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And listen, right off the bat, we believe in physical healing. Say amen. But in this statement. Jesus puts it in divine perspective. Praise God for healing. I'm going to believe for healing. I'm going to claim Isaiah 53. I don't care until they throw dirt on your face. I'm going to be believing God to heal you, or until they throw dirt on my face. I'm going to be, even to the last of the last. I don't believe in early physician-assisted suicide. I don't believe in pulling the plug too quick unless there's really no other way. If the person's already dead, that's one thing. But I do believe right to the very last that God could just sweep down and raise you up because He is a mighty healer. But if not, the greatest healing in the world is Him forgiving my sins and healing my sin-sick soul and preparing for me a place. And that's why I can be of good cheer, because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and I'm on my way to heaven. Well, somebody give Him praise and be of good cheer. Amen. So this is the cheer of pardon. And He didn't heal his sickness first. He healed his soul first. And by the way, you can go to heaven with a sick body, but you can't go to heaven with a sin-sick soul. And I want to give you three things this morning about, and we just might as well call it salvation. Salvation. Well, Brother Ricky, you know what I'm facing tomorrow. Are you saved? Yeah, well, then be of good cheer, because you're a child of God. You're born again. My Heavenly Father owns, they talk about the stock market. Well, He owns the stock on 1,000 hills, or the cattle on 1,000 hills. So I want to give you three things about salvation this morning that will help you to be of good cheer. And then we're going to talk tonight about the rest of them and then next Sunday. Is that okay? Amen. Number one, the provision. Be of good cheer because of the provision. Next slide. The provision of salvation. The provision. Number one, listen, salvation is available. Oh, everyone that is thirsty, come to the waters and get water without price and fill your soul on salvation. It is available. Now, we live in a world where some things are not always available. Let me tell you, health insurance is not always available. Let me tell you that finances and wealth are not always available. Certain people, listen, we may know Donald Trump, but let me tell you, if you go try to see him, he may not be available. And I'll tell you, you might drive somewhere down the road and look at your phone, and guess what? Cell phone coverage? Not available. Oh, doesn't it frustrate you? There's just things sometimes that are not available to us when we need it. But salvation is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you've not been saved, listen, you find your way to an altar. When we pray this morning collectively, and Brother Clark plays, I want you to come, because salvation is available. And there may come a time when it is not available. It will not be available after you're dead. Amen now. And to be very honest with you, it may not be available at all times, because it's only available when the Holy Spirit is drawing you. And so when you feel the tug of salvation, you may not feel it tomorrow, and you may be dying the next day. Right now, while you feel the tug on your heart, don't wait till you get older. Don't wait to quit drinking, or don't come up and say you're a good person, please. I mean, I love you. But we are not good people. We're sinners. Now, you may be a good person in a lot of ways, but when it comes down to it, you need to be saved. There's no one so bad that they cannot be saved, and neither is there no one so good that they don't need to be saved. We all got to be saved. Hallelujah! And it's available this morning. Thank God I came to Jesus, and the door was open, and He said, come on in, Ricky. You can be saved from your sins, and thank God it was available. Well, be of good cheer this morning. That salvation is available. Can you say amen? I like what you remember the story of Abraham and Isaac, and God said to Isaac, or God said to Abraham, to offer your son as a sacrifice for sin. And so Abraham obeyed. He was actually going to sacrifice his son. Now, that was a strange thing, but back in that world, that was nothing but human sacrifice. And still, even today, you'll go to some tribes in Africa, and they'll sacrifice humans. So it was strange. It's strange to us, but in a sense, it wasn't that strange to Abraham. And even though it was still hard, I'm sure, and Isaac himself was willing to lay on the altar. That's another sermon. Are you willing to lay on the altar and give your all to the Heavenly Father and look at what God will do? Can I get it? Amen. And so here's Abraham. He's about to offer his son. And I'm sure his heart is hurting, but yet there's faith. And about the time, let's see, hold on. I'm getting ahead of myself. And Isaac spake unto Abraham's father and said, my father, he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. Now, I hope my children see the fire and the wood in my life. That's another. I'm really trying not to chase rabbits this morning. But Sister April, we as parents got to have the fire and we got to have the wood. We got to have the Calvary and the cross and we got to have the fire. If you're dragging around the house and halfway reading your Bible and laying out and this, that, and I know I'm preaching this morning and I love you, but the kids need to see. Isaac said, I see the fire, Daddy, and I see the wood. My God, you know something good is going to happen when children can see their parents on fire for God. I mean, on fire for God. Y'all got a mighty quiet amen out there. And some grandparents that's got the fire in the wood. Sister April, you can preach that sermon. I'll give it to you. That's a doozy. That's a goodie. You won't hear it on TBN. Amen. Let me tell you that he said, behold the fire in the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, read it with me. God will provide himself a lamb. Stop right there, because everybody misreads that scripture. They add the word for. They read, God will provide for himself a lamb. He didn't say he was going to provide for himself. He said, I'm going to provide myself. Abraham said, God is going to provide himself. God is going to step down into my situation himself and do what needs to be done. Thank God on the cross. I could not save myself. I don't care how good you are. You're not good enough. All of the worst form of badness is human goodness. If it keeps you from realizing we're lost. But oh, thank God he stepped down himself and died on the cross. And hallelujah. Listen, be of good cheer. He has provided your salvation. And if he's going to take care of that, guess what? I think he'll take care of a headache. Amen. Yes. Or a cancer. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Woo. President Nixon was watching the moon landings on TV in the White House. He told one of his aides that that's got to be the greatest miracle of all time. That man had walked on the moon. But the president was wrong. Because the greatest miracle of all is not that a man has walked upon the moon, but that God has walked upon the earth. Say amen this morning. Not only the provision of salvation, but let me quickly talk to you, next slide, on the description of salvation. I got a kaleidoscope there. It's a many-colored thing. It's a kaleidoscope. And you knew that. I graduated from East Carolina. I had to look it up. Amen. So, the description of salvation. A kaleidoscope. Salvation has multifaceted angles. Salvation is a beautiful thing, and it's got many colors and shades, and it's just so many aspects of salvation that I just want to put before you the description of salvation. What do you mean, Pastor? Number one, pardon. Did you know that when you get saved, you receive a pardon? A pardon. This is a legal act where our sin, when Jesus looked at the man, Commander Philip, he gave him a pardon. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, if you think about the fact that if you sinned three times a day, now let's talk about sin for a minute, because I know what we all think when we think of sin. We think of a lady walking downtown in scantily dressed clothes. We think of a person with drugs, you know, doing this, shooting up there. We think of these things. I'm just not going to describe them. You know what I'm talking about. But listen, I've hit on it, but I want to lay in on it this morning. Sin is not only the sin of commission. There's also the sins of omission. There's not only the sins that people do. There's also sin in things you don't do. If you don't serve God, if you neglect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Listen, let me ask you a question here. Have you ever, now don't answer out loud, really. I just want everybody to answer internally, okay? So everybody just say internally, and don't speak up for your neighbor. But and again, I'm going to ask a question, but I want you to just internal. Have you ever lied? Just answer that question. Have you ever told a lie? All right. Have you ever thought about a person in the wrong way? Maybe we call it lust. I'm not going to go any further, but we've looked at someone in a wrong way. Have we ever done that? Now, don't answer out loud. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Have you ever used the word God and another expletive with it? Have you ever done that? Now, I'm going to just stop right there because it's getting very tense in the room. I can tell everybody's tightening up. And by the way, we got seven more to go. So, and already the top three of them, you've already, most 99% of us have already missed it right there. We've already broke three of the Ten Commandments. And by the way, if we break them one time in one lifetime, we are guilty before a holy God. So don't come up and tell me, well, I'm a good person. Listen, I feed the hungry. Did you know that the terrorists that flew the planes into the building, they gave to charity as well, and they cared for orphans? It does not matter what your good deeds are. We are hopelessly and forever and eternally lost under a guilt of sin. We were born in sin. Did our mothers conceive us? We had already sinned before we were 10, 11, and 12. Before I was 10 years old, I had stole candy from White Supermarket in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. I'm telling you, I was a thief at birth, and nothing against my mother. But listen, you say, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. We're all children of Adam, and therefore we're part of the Adams family. Amen. The lurch and the thing. That's us, baby. I'm here to tell you this morning, we have sinned and we have hopelessly lost. We have all said things we shouldn't have said. We've all omitted things we should have done. And so listen, when Jesus looks at you and says, your sins are forgiven. Glory. A pardon. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was brought to me. There my soul found liberty. Where, church? At Calvary. For as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions. Now see, if you go north, you'll eventually go south. If you go south, you'll eventually go north. But if you go east, you'll never meet west. And if you go west, you'll never meet east. God has pardoned your sins as far as, you know what, that's a word that I did learn in East Carolina, infinity. Pardon, somebody say pardon. Full and free. But not only pardon, but when we got saved, we got justified. That's another color. Pardon, say amen. Justification. Romans 3:24. Says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only were we part, listen, this means that because I have accepted the provision of salvation, I have been justified. And this takes the pardon to another level. Are y'all ready for this? This is good. So get ready. I don't want you to miss it. See, when I put this message together and I get to shouting while I'm putting it together, I was reading this to Darnell, and me and Darnell about to have church the other night in the living room. Amen. But this is good. Y'all ready? Pardon. When I was pardoned, my sins were forgiven. But when I was justified, my sins were forgotten. Was that as good to you as it was to me? Whoa, glory. You see, I can forgive somebody if they wreck my car, but I promise you I won't ever forget it if you mess up my Lincoln, I'm telling you. That's why I park it far in. Now, I'm really kidding. I park it far in so that I just want guests and visitors to have a better park. But being down there is a benefit to waste some of the teenagers' drive here and the youth pastor. Amen. I need some pardon, brother. I can tell already. So he ain't going to forget that. But Tuesday night, him and his wife are going to be. Do you remember what Brother Ricky said Sunday morning? Listen, I don't only be pardoned. I need to be justified. I don't need my sins forgiven. I need, Pastor, my sins forgotten. Amen. Isn't that great? You know, kids can do that. You know, they can fall out with each other. And 30 minutes later, they just all lovey-dovey all over each other. Why can't grown people in the church of God do that when we mess up and we hurt people's feelings? Oh, my goodness. What you've received. Listen, grace is wonderful to be experienced. But grace is even more wonderful when it's extended. How many of you have experienced grace? Let me see your hand out there this morning. But let me tell you something. If you want to take it to another level, not only experience it, but extend it to those who don't deserve it. Just like yourself. Oh, somebody say, be of good cheer. My sins are gone. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. Amen. Not only is there pardon, not only is there justification. And by the way, I'm starting to wrap this up. So be of good cheer. Not only is there pardon, not only is there justification, but here's another color. It's acceptance. So I've forgiven you of your sin, and I've even forgotten you of your sin. Well, what next? I mean, God could just say, well, you just go on and do your thing, and I'll go on and do my thing. And we go to another level. He's not only forgiven, he's not only forgotten, but now he's embraced us. It's called acceptance. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted. Now, a lot of times people struggle with acceptance. You know, we live in a world of class boundaries, the rich and the poor. We live in a world of looks boundaries. We got the Hollywood people that looks and get all the contracts. And then we have racial boundaries. Black, Hispanic, white. But let me tell you, in Jesus Christ, there are no boundaries. We are all accepted. Not only is there pardon and justification, but there is acceptance. Oh, thank God that you, listen, you may have had a spouse to leave you or cheat on you and devastate you. And that would be terrible. And that is terrible. And by the way, can I just throw a little preaching in here. And some of these things that Lord knew I didn't plan to say, but sometimes God wants me to say them. If you're married, love your spouse. Be faithful to your spouse. Don't go to the break room and touch on people of the opposite sex and laugh. And 'cause when I walk in, I think you're flirting with them, and you are. This is good holiness preaching. And I know you all in here are sanctified and grandparents, and you're like, what is he talking about? I'm just telling you, we live in a world. Come on. And love your spouse. Because let me tell you, if you're even thinking about adultery, it's only going to bring tears. It's only going to bring shame and embarrassment. And if you've ever fallen into that, God will forgive you. Yes, he will. Amen. And if you've had a failed marriage and divorce and all of that, let me tell you, God is a God of second chances. And his mercies are endured forever. But let me tell you something, that if you've had a spouse to leave you, you feel like you're not worthy. You feel like, sometimes we can look to people to fill a void in our life that only God can fill. That's why people turn to drugs sometimes. That's why people turn to movies or music or that's why people sometimes have affairs and things like that. Because really what they're looking for is acceptance. because I don't look just right, or I'm overweight, or I wasn't of a certain family. Let me tell you, in Jesus Christ, His arms are open wide. He provided Himself. You are special. You are beloved. He loved you so much that He killed His Son to be with you for all eternity. That is acceptance. You might not be admitted at the country club, but brother and sister, you are admitted in the pearly gates. Thank God, I'm accepted. And by the way, when somebody comes to church, oh, be accepting to people. Even if they don't look like you think they ought to look. Even if they're not dressed like you think they ought to dress. Even Westmoreland is a what? Loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. You know what that basically means, Brother Philip? That means we accept people as they are, and we'll love them to see what God will make them into what they need to be. I'm glad this morning. Be of good cheer. People may reject you. Your spouse may reject you. Your mother and father may put you out. But the Lord will accept you. Come as you are and let God love you this morning. Can you be of good cheer? And then another one, and I'm about to wrap it up here. Another one is not only pardon, say amen. Not only justification, say amen. Not only acceptance, but here's another doozy. Adoption. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again the fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. And see, in the Roman times, when you adopted a child, it was legally and unreversible. That child was as yours as if it were a biological child. And to an extent, that's the way some of it is today. Darnell and I have been praying about and looking at adoption, and I really feel like we're close to doing it. We've got to get a few things taken care of before that happens, namely a place to live. Amen. Praise God. So if any of you got a piece of land you want to sell at a good price, or a nice house that's got about 4 or 5 bedrooms, amen, you know. It don't have to be big. Just talk to me after service. Be of good cheer. we're still kind of in a temporary place right now. Thank the Lord for where we're staying. But adoption, I can just see. So we go down to the lawyer's office and we sign the paperwork, and the child then becomes mine and Darnell's. And so we bring the child home. We've got a room for him. I go to Best Buy and get him a TV. Oh, was that funny? We stop over computers and get an iPad for him. Hallelujah. Did not get a cell phone day. And I don't think it's... Sometimes you got to watch the kids with cell phones. Just do. They can have a cell phone, but when it rings, mine rings at the same time. So when they say hello, whoever's on the other line,
hello.
You know? So if I have a little girl, you know, it's a boy, you know, they're going to hear my voice. Come on now. Folks, we live in a crazy world out there. But that child is adopted. That means when we go to Cracker Barrel, she whips up that chair, or he, and I order food. What you want, honey? Or what you want, son? And they just order. They don't like, well, I better not get a lot. No, sir, I know those kids, they're going to order everything they want, and they're going to put the bill on me, and I'm going to pay for it. You know why? Because that's my child. We are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Man, this is looking better all the time. I don't know what you're facing next week, but you are a child of God Almighty. And He who numbers the hair on our head, He knows what the x-ray says. I'm here to tell you, be of good cheer. You are a child of the living God. Give Him another hand of praise here this morning. Wonderful. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Be of good cheer. I know that my sins are forgiven. I know I'm adopted. I know I'm accepted. And therefore, be of good cheer. That's the provision of salvation, the description of salvation. But I want to close with the most important part of this message. and is the invitation to salvation. Because some of you, I just want you to think for a moment. I know that we go through depressed times. I know we go through anxiety. I do. I go through it. We all go through it. I remember about 5 years ago, I had anxiety attacks. I went to the emergency room twice. And it's a spirit sometimes. And it just comes at you. And all you go to bed at night, you can't sleep. You're thinking about how am I going to pay the bills? What's going to happen? You know, it's anxiety. And I really feel I'm ministering to somebody this morning. Because this is the word of the Lord. Be of good cheer. Because I just remind yourself, wait a minute, I am saved. And when it's all said and done, I'm going to be with my Lord. And He is my Heavenly Father. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, our who in heaven, hallowed be His name. Let me tell you, let me take a little step further. If you're all the time dealing with depression and all the time dealing with anxiety, maybe the Lord is dealing with you and you're really not saved. Maybe, possibly. I'm not judging anybody. Because I know what it is to deal with anxiety. I know what it is to deal with depression as a saved man. But let's just put it this way. Don't want to say something I shouldn't say. But let's just put it this way. Why don't we make sure, first and foremost, a lot of times people will come to me and, oh, my marriage is this and my finances is this and my, and they're not serving God. They're not going to church. They're not giving offerings as they're able to. And we all struggle with that. And God, you don't have to give an offering for God to love you. Can I get an amen out there? And we believe in tithing, but we're not talking about a legalistic thing here. But you're not reading the Bible. You never read the Bible. You never spend more than 3 or 4 minutes in prayer. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody. Sometimes I get busy and I get behind. But look, by your fruit, look at the fruit of you. Is there any Bible? Is there a commitment to Christ? Is there? Bottom line, are you saved? Let's get that off the table. Let's go it because listen, go back to the man who was sick of the palsy, who had to be carried by 4 people. I'm sure he was probably pretty depressed. But let me tell you, before Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Let's make sure, number one, numero uno, that you have asked Jesus into your heart. And not only have you asked him into your heart, but you're living the life that he is asking you to live as his child. Can I get an amen out there? Are you saved? Do you know that you know if you died right now? I'm not talking about, well, I'm a good person. We done talked about that. I'm talking about, have you been born again? And if not, I want to give you an invitation. And that picture, Brother Clark, if you'll get ready, and let's play make believe that I'm stopping, okay? If you'll go ahead and when he goes to the piano, it gives you a feeling that I'm getting ready to stop. Be of good cheer. You love Jesus this morning. But I want you to look at that picture because some of you are sitting right there. And brother, I'll let you know right when to start. This is a famous painting from hundreds of years ago. And this painting was made by a chess player. In fact, a good movie, if you want to watch a good movie, Darnell and I just saw it on Netflix, The Queen of Katwe. Has anybody seen that movie? It's about a little African girl who was a master chess player. And she lived in the slums of Katwe in Africa, one of the countries of Africa. And how God just, and through a mentor who was a Christian, and she became a world-famous chess player and brought a lot of help to her poor neighborhood. But this painting was actually painted by a master chess player. And what he drew there, and I don't know the title of the painting, blah, 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 blah. Let's see what's the name of it. But anyway, this man over here is the devil. And this man is playing chess with the devil. And so the deal is that if this man wins, he gets everything he wants. But if the devil wins, he gets this man's soul. So the devil's playing for his soul, and this man is playing for his soul as well, or everything he wants. And so the backstory of this picture is that the master chess player that painted this picture painted it in such a way that the devil won. And this guy here is checkmated, and there's no move he can make. There's not one move that he can make. So you see that gleam in the devil's eye. I got him. And you see the despair on his soul. What am I going to do? And that's a famous painting. Many years ago, probably about 10 or 15, maybe 30 or 40 years ago, but in the 1900s, this painting has been around for hundreds of years. But a man who also was a master chess player was going through the art gallery, and he saw this painting up there, and he's like, well, I'm a chess player. Let me look at this painting. And this guy was looking at it, and he's also a master. He's won tournament after tournament after tournament. And he looked at that thing, and he looked at the devil. He looked at that boy. He looked at all the pieces. Now, you got to understand, you're not seeing a good copy of it. But this is an oil painting. And so the art gallery is quiet. And this is about 30, 40 years ago. And the master chess player is looking. And all of a sudden, he sees that painting. And he's like, wait a minute. I see a way. I see a way that this man can beat the devil. And so he's looking at that picture. And he's like, young man, you can win this. People are looking at him. And he's just so in front. He said, young man, you can beat the devil. You can win this. Young man, it's so clear. All you got to do is make this move. Make this one move and you can beat the devil. Young man, you don't have to lose your soul. Just make this move and you can beat the devil. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know a thing about chess, but I do know this. There's some of you, the devil is wanting you bad, but you've got a chance to make your move this morning. I don't know what people have done to you. I don't know what life has thrown to you. And I don't know what tears you've shed, but I'm here to tell you, your first step, make that move. Don't let the devil beat you. Be of good cheer. Come to Jesus this morning. Would you stand with me today? And I want you to know that the Lord is dealing. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Brother Clark, play softly. And Father, we thank you today for the provision of salvation, that it's available. We thank you, Lord, for the description of salvation, that we're pardoned, we're justified, we're accepted, and we're adopted. But now, Lord, we come to the invitation. Make that move this morning, young man. Teenager, make that move to Jesus. Don't get checkmated by the enemy. Maybe you're an older person in your second half of life and you've yet to make that move. Make that move to Jesus. Come to Him this morning. Don't look back. Don't have one foot in the world, one foot in the church. Come all the way, because I'll tell you, if you do, you can be of good cheer. Your sins will be forgiven. Make that move. And heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, nobody looking around. And if you want to make that move, now we're not going to embarrass you, but if you want to make that move, the very first thing I want you to do is just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I want to make that move. I want to ask Jesus into my heart. Is that anybody this morning who wants to, a teenager? Are you listening to me? Will you make that move for Jesus? Anybody this morning? Maybe you're having suicidal thoughts. Maybe you've turned to drugs or alcohol or relationships. This morning, please make that move to Jesus. Anybody this morning? Brother Clark, would you sing that song as we're praying right now? Mercy there was great and grace was free. Go right ahead, my brother. Years I spent caring not, my Lord was free. Come on, make that move this morning. That it's for me He died on Calvary. Everybody sing it this morning. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Lift your hands and sing it. Pardon there was multiplied. Are you going to make that move this morning? There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. All right, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to come this morning and ask the Lord to help you make the sides of your mouth go in another direction.